Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to not only the one who speaks, but also to those who hear. And open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in your law. And so that we not only be able to be wise and take the warning and turn around and walk in the way of understanding, so that we be truly be blessed by you, not only in this life and also in the life to come. And hear my prayer, O Lord, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I went to New York, I just studied the psalm, and I got moved by it, so that I just share what I learned before I went to New York. I found out that when King David was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he write the first psalm. The first psalm is very much related to Psalm 150. The second psalm is very much related to Psalm 149. So that's why I put it all together and take a look at that. The reason why to write the psalm so that we know how to pray to God. The reason why David write the psalm so that he prepare his children. Prepare his children to be able to reign with the Messiah. Prepare his children so that his children can be able to enter the kingdom of God. And the first step for doing so, he say, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinner, or sit in the seat of mocker. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. These are the key words. There are two ways. In verse 1 is the way to hell. Verse 2 is the way to heaven. One, he listened to the counsel of the wicked. The other, listen to the counsel of the righteous. The one stand in the way of sinner. The other stand in the way of the Messiah. The other sit in the seat of mocker. And another, he gonna reign with Jesus Christ, sit on the right side of the Messiah, not sitting with the mocker. In the future, he can reign with Jesus Christ. The criteria is in verse 2, his delight. In the English translation, it didn't translate as good as the Chinese one. The Chinese one is right like that. But his delight is only, we're missing the word, only in the law of the Lord. This fellow, David, is the one who delight in the law of the Lord. He wants his children to delight only in the law of the Lord. If you delight the law of the Lord so much, for sure, you're going to meditate day and night on his law. I want you to write that down right beside in verse 2. Take a look at the Psalm 119, the one who loved the word of the Lord, and what will he do? Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. If you truly love the law of the Lord, you will meditate on it all day long. Verse 98. Your command make me wiser than my enemy, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statute. Verse 100. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precept. King David wants his children to be blessed by the Lord, not just in this life, but also in the life to come. In this life, what kind of blessing will he get? In verse 3, he is like a tree planted by stream of water. If you get close to God, The living word is just like the living stream of water. If you delight in the law of the Lord, then you are like a tree planted by stream of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. When I was in New York, I used to, in the morning, I serve in my own church, and then in the afternoon, I go to the church in Yonker. It's a Thai speaking. The people come from Thailand. I went there to speak in English, and then their translation to Thai language. And there's a couple. I served in that church for over 10 years, and then I come back to Edmonton. I didn't meet this couple for a long time. And, they write to me and ask me, how am I? Where are you now? Did you still come to New York, once a month? I say, yes. So, we get linked up together. Last month, he come to our church. And then just last week, he take me to another Thai church to preach. And then on the way, she tell me that she lost the job in December. She's a pharmacist, and she took MBA. She's a very high position in the sales. But she's still serving. She said, I lost the job, a good paid job, but she's still serving. She take me to the Thai church, another Thai church in Queens. From where I am, it takes 1.5 hours to go there. On the way, she told me that. Last week, she got a job. From Maryland, Washington, D.C. The company paid her. The house that she bought in New York, the company say, you sell your house, we pay for the closing cost. And then if you cannot sell the house, whatever the real estate appraised the value, we pay for it. And then we want you to stay in Washington, D.C. to buy the house. We pay the closing cost for the mortgage too. Brother and sister, when you serve the Lord, doesn't matter you get a job or you don't get a job. If you delighted in the law of the Lord, and meditate on it day and night, you're going to keep on serving, whether you get a job or not getting a job. Now the job that she get is better than the job she had previously. She's now heading up all the Europe. She's the head. And all the Asia. And I say, wow, that's amazing. You know, some people lose the job in December, and now it's February, 2 months. People will be discouraged, not serving the Lord, may not even come to the church. Not to mention go to Rockland County and pick me up to go to another place to preach. And then while I'm preaching, she go to the Sunday school class to teach others. The one who delight in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditate day and night, he is like a tree planted by stream of water. The word of God nurtures her soul, and which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prosper. Verse 4, not so the wicked, they are like chaff. One is like a tree bearing fruit and prosperous, the other like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They can stand now, very good, but in the judgment time, none of the wicked will be able to stand in the judgment time, nor sinner in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are two ways. One, listen to the counsel of the wicked. One, listen to the counsel of the righteous. And David wants his children to listen to the counsel of the righteous people, like the prophet, like the apostle, like Jesus Christ, like the Messiah. Chapter 2. Why do the nation conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the ruler gather together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their chain, they said, and throw off their fetter. The one enthroned in heaven laughed. The Lord scoffed at them. Then he rebuked them in his anger and terrified them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore you king, be wise, be warned, you ruler of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Would you please do me a favor? In Psalm chapter 2, you write down, David talk about the first coming of the Messiah. He said, Pastor John, how do you know that? This Psalm 2 is written by David. Would you please turn to the Act? Chapter 4, when the brother and sister in those days, 2,000 years ago, when they gathered together in prayer, they say that in their prayer. Acts chapter 4, when they pray, verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Brother and sister, their prayer are so powerful. They gather together in prayer to God, right beside in prayer to God. You write down verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. When they prayed, they spoke the word of God. After they pray, they spoke the word of God even more boldly, because they see the earthquake. Go back to verse 24. What's the content of their prayer? They say, Sovereign Lord, they said, you make the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You, that means Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. In other words, when David wrote the Psalm, chapter 2, David spoke by the Holy Spirit. What did he say? He said, why do the nation rage? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the ruler gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And then he explained, who are they? In verse 27, indeed, King Herod and Governor Pontius Pilate, they are the leader of the Roman Emperor. They met together with the Gentiles, and the peoples is the plural. You see the footnotes? And peoples of Israel in this city conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Whom you anointed, that means Jesus is the Messiah. So I want you to go back. Psalm 2. When they gather together, in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, when they gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one, that means against His Messiah, that Messiah, you write down, Jesus is the Messiah. They against the Messiah, Jesus, is God's holy servant, whom you anointed. Whom you anointed, right beside whom you anointed, you write down Psalm 45. When the sovereign Lord anointed His holy servant Jesus, He anointed Him more than He anointed any other servant. Write down Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. Your throne, that means Jesus' throne, O God. That means O God is O God Jesus. Your throne will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Jesus loved righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companion by anointing you with the oil of joy. The sovereign Lord God the Father anointed His holy servant, Jesus Christ, His Son, more than He anointed any person above all your companions. Here's the Messiah's capital letter M. We are small letter M. We are Messiah. We are followers of the Messiah. And also want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 34. Gospel of John, chapter 3, right beside the anointed, the Apostle John witnessed for Jesus saying that. He said, "For the one whom God has sent, speak the word of God, for God gave the Spirit without limit." Give the Spirit, give the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ without limit. More than He anointed anyone. Okay? In Old Testament, we know that the sovereign Lord anointed Moses with the Holy Spirit. But we know that now, the sovereign Lord, God the Father, anointed His Son more than He anointed Moses. Okay? More than Elijah. More than King David. Okay? More than any person. Now, we go back. Where are we? In verse 6, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." As I said before, right beside Psalm 2, you write down, King David was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he wanted to prepare his children to receive the first coming of the Messiah, to receive Jesus. Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not sit in the seat of mockers. Follow the counsel of the righteous prophet, the holy prophet, and stand in the way of righteous. Sit in the seat of the righteous people. Do not seek in the seat of mockers. And you have to delight in the word of the Lord. On top of that, meditate on the word of the Lord day and night, and the Lord will set you apart from all other people. go back to Acts chapter 4. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentile and the people of Israel in this city of Jerusalem to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. In here, when they were so filled with the Holy Spirit, they tell the anointed one, who is he? It's the holy servant Jesus Christ. Verse 28. They mean Herod, Pontius Pilate, the elder, the council, ruling council of the Jewish people, all these leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, all these people gathered together with the Gentiles to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Right beside that, you write down verse 25 and 26. Or you write down Psalm chapter 2, 1 and 2. In other words, when David was filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesied that's exactly what the Gentiles together with the Jewish people gathered together to do against the Lord and against the Messiah Jesus. It is very powerful, you know, because God knows ahead of time. And then he revealed it to his servant David. And David write it down. He wanted to make sure his children understand that, not to fall into sin by following the wicked people. Verse 29. Now, Lord. Lord means sovereign Lord in verse 24. Now, Lord, consider their threat and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous sign and wonder through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they pray, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That means God hear their prayer. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. Talk about the first coming of the Messiah Jesus. And he would die on the cross because nation conspired, because people plot together and take their stand against the Messiah and against the Lord. You know what they say? They say, let us break the chain and throw off their fetters. They don't want to be controlled by the Messiah Jesus. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to be controlled by the Lord. They want to do their own thing, live their own life. And then in verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughed. The Lord scolded at them because the Lord loved them, want them to turn around. That's why he scolded them, because they don't want... Okay, remember what the Bible says? Bible is useful for four things. Number one, for teaching. When he teaches you, you refuse to listen, he's going to rebuild you. Rebuking is participle. Number two. Number three, he's correcting you. And number four, he's training you in righteousness. When he teaches you in Psalm 1, you don't listen, because he knows that if you keep on doing your own thing, you're going to go to hell. He loves you. He didn't want you to go to hell. He's going to rebuild you. Scold you. Scold you, that means he didn't want you to go to hell. You want to save your life. When he scolds you, you don't listen, then he's going to correct you. He's going to make you face difficulty. Let you think about why you're doing what you're doing. So now in verse 4, the Lord enthroned in heaven laughed, and the Lord scolded at them. Before I scold at them, you write down 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16. I'm sorry, chapter 3, 16 to 17. All scripture are God-breathed, All scripture are useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? It's to equip the saint to do good work. He not only want you to hear the word of the Lord, he want you to obey the word of the Lord, and in the end, equip you to do good work, so that he can richly reward you, so that you can reign with Jesus. If you are now sitting in the seat of mocker, in the future, you will not sit in the seat, in the throne of our Messiah Jesus. Because Jesus Christ said, if you are overcomer, if you obey me and follow me and do good work, you're going to reign with me, sit at my right side, just like I overcome, sit at the right side of the Heavenly Father. All kings want his children to be king. King David is king. And the Lord said to him that I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless your children after you. So he can write something, make sure that his children are going to inherit the kingship. When you don't listen, he's going to scold at you. But scolding at you is not, I want you to go to hell, come on, give me a break. He scold at you, want you to turn around, right? That's what he's trying to say. Okay, go back. Verse 5. Then he rebuked them in his anger and terrified them in his wrath, saying, hey man, you don't know that I have already installed my Messiah, Jesus, to be the king on Sion, my holy hill. Right beside install my king, you write down Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my king. That king, according to the Old Testament, is the one and only king, no other king. Write down Zechariah. The last chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah is the second last book. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. The Lord will be king. The Lord means the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will be king over the whole earth. On that day, in his second coming, there will be one Lord, and his name is the only name. In his second coming means Revelation chapter 19. What did the Bible say? Revelation chapter 19 verse 16. On Jesus' robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Jewish people, they don't know that. So that's why the Lord, Sovereign Lord, rebuilt, God the Father rebuilt them, telling them, I have installed my King Jesus Christ on Zion, on my holy hill. And then the Messiah will proclaim the decree of the Lord. That's why when Jesus Christ come to the earth, he proclaimed nothing but the decree of the Lord. Because he was sent by God. I want you to write that down right beside verse 7. He proclaimed nothing but the decree of the Lord. Because if you are God's servant, sent by God, you proclaim nothing but the word of the Lord. Just like John chapter 3 verse 34. And the Messiah will only proclaim the word of the Lord. He said to me, the Sovereign Lord God the Father said to his son, Jesus, you are my son. Today I have become your father. This word, you are my son. Today I have become your father, recorded in the New Testament 3 times. But only mention it 1 time. It's in Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 33. By the servant Paul, when he preached. How did he interpret these Bible verses? He said, you are my son, today I have become your father. That day, today, is not the day Jesus Christ was born through Mary. No, not that day. Although, in the false gospel, we see that. the writer say, Jesus Christ, this baby is the Son of God. Today, I have become your father, that today is not the day when Jesus Christ was baptized. You and I know that when Jesus Christ was baptized, the heaven opened and there's a voice saying, this is my son, right? He didn't say today, this is my son. He just say, this is my son whom I love, right? So this today is not the day in Matthew chapter 17. Remember Jesus Christ went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and then we take Peter, take John, take James. You remember that three apostles, right? And then his whole body is shining, right? Like his sun. And then the heaven opened up and there's a voice. This is my son, whom I love, right? He didn't say today. When Paul preached the gospel, when he was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he said that today is the day Jesus Christ was resurrected. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he became God's son. He will not die anymore. He will live forever and ever. Just like Romans chapter 6 verse 9, Paul say that Jesus Christ died only once. And after that he resurrected. Death cannot has a master over him anymore. He can live forever and ever. Death no longer has mastery over the Messiah, resurrected Messiah. Because God raised him from the dead. He cannot die again. Not only Paul saying that, in Romans chapter 6 verse 9, the Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, John recorded the same thing, recorded what Jesus said. I was once dead, now I'm resurrected, and I will live forever and ever. And that day, today, I have become your father. Like father, like son, God never died. God lived forever and ever. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he lived forever and ever. That's why he said, today you have become my son, and I have become your father. You are my son, today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nation your inheritance, the end of the earth your possession. I want you to write that down. Right beside chapter 2, verse 8, you write down Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. When the seven trumpets blow the trumpet, the voice from heaven say, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord and the kingdom of the Messiah. The kingdom of this world is right now. The kingdom of this world, who is in control? Satan is in control. Who is ruling? President Obama ruling, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is ruling, but they are under the control of who? Satan. The Bible predicted that the kingdom of this world has become, when the seventh trumpet sounded his trumpet, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord. That's the sovereign Lord God the Father. And his Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. God promised him, you ask of me, I will make the nation your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will be the king of all kings, lord of all lords. You will rule over them all. In verse 9, you will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you king, be wise. Right beside, be wise. In verse 10, right beside, be warned. I want you to write that down. Live your simple way, and you will live. Right after you live, walk in the way of understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Be warned, be wise. That means don't live like a simple man anymore. Be wise, don't be a foolish. I have installed my king on Mount Zion. That is Messiah Jesus. And you conspire together, you follow the crowd. You don't follow the righteous counsel, you follow the wicked counsel. You not only lose your kingship, you lose your life, man. He said, be wise. Know the word of the Lord. And David said, my delight is only in the law of the Lord. And on this law, I meditate day and night. I don't meditate on the saying of the wicked people. I only meditate on the word of the Lord. Because when I just look at it, I won't understand it. So you got to be wise. Be wise and be warned. Who be wise? You king be wise. You ruler of the earth be warned. I want you to write that down right. Be wise, be warned. That means live your simple way. You don't know that I have installed my king Jesus. That's why you crucify him. Okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. But now you miss the boat once, and then in Psalm 149 you miss the boat second time, you'll be dead. You can miss the boat in verse 2, you can miss the boat in chapter 2, but don't miss the boat in Psalm 149. Be wise, be warned, and then serve the Lord. Right beside serve the Lord with fear, you write down. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6b. Walk in the way of understanding. Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked anymore. Walk in the counsel of the holy prophet and apostle. Study God's word so that you make a wise decision, so that you know who you are following. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. And as I said, you write down chapter 9, verse 6b, Proverbs. I also want you to write down Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Allow God to work in your life, to will and to act for His good purpose. Allow God to work in your life. Open your heart. Let the word of God control your life. Control your speech. Obey Him. And then serve the Lord with fear and trembling. You know where the Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 saying? It's come from Psalm chapter 2. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You write down Psalm chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. That's where it comes from. Paul is the one who takes the warning. Paul is the one, be wise now. And then kiss the Son. Obey Him, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Of course, you and I know that. After King David writes Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, of course, there's Psalm 3 all the way to Psalm 148. But I'm not talking about that. Talking about that just like what? Sometimes we go up and down, and that's how we use Psalm 3 and Psalm 48 to guide us. But I tell you what's the end result. Psalm 149. Psalm 149, right, you write down the second coming of the Messiah. Brother and sister, we can miss the first coming of the Messiah. We can miss the bow. We can crucify Jesus. But as long as you turn around and repent, prepare yourself, to be wise virgin, not be a foolish virgin. Take warning, take his advice, and turn around and serve him. You'll be good to go. Brother and sister, you know the difference between a good school and a bad school is this. Teacher all these things. A good school in Hong Kong, more or less they guarantee to go to Hong Kong U. The teacher is going to teach them what is going to be written in the exam. Because they are the examiner. They know what they're going to put there because they get it together. You go to a lousy school, you learn something, you don't even know what is in the exam. Brother and sister, I'm a practical man. Don't waste my time. I go to the church because I want to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't want to enter into the kingdom of this world and then go to hell. I'm already in there. You understand what I'm trying to say? And I also know that Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Messiah. And he will reign forever and ever. I want to enter the kingdom of the Messiah. I want to enter the kingdom of God. Don't prepare me for anything else, man. Don't waste my time. Does it make sense? When I get moved, that's why I teach you. Okay? Make sure you don't miss the boat. For the Psalm 149. Let's go to it. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Who are they singing? They sing praise to the Lord. It's a new song because they have a new experience. And then his praise. Sing his praise in the assembly of the saints. That means they follow the advice of the saints. They follow the advice of the holy prophet. They don't follow the way of the wicked. They live the simple way already. They walk in the way of understanding. They walk in the light. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Their king. I want you to write that down. Their king is chapter 2, verse 6. The sovereign Lord say, I have installed my son to be my king on Mount Zion, the holy hill. Be glad in their king. Be glad with Jesus Christ. Rejoice in Jesus. I want you to write that down. Be glad in their king. Let's hear what Paul has said. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. When you rejoice in Jesus, rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you already live at peace with God already. You are good to go. Those people who rejoice in their king, they will be very, very happy. Let them praise his name with dancing. You know what? When you're happy, you're going to dance, right? You're going to move around, right? Just like the black people in America, right? When they're happy, they sing songs. When they're happy, they're dancing. Make music to him with tambourine and harp. Verse 4. For the Lord Messiah, Jesus Christ, take delight in his people. You delight in him. You delight in his word. He took delight in you. What did he do when he took delight in you? In verse 4, he crowned the humble with salvation. Unfortunately, would you please go back to Psalm 149? The NIV translation is... Now this one is the old translation. Linda used a new translation, right? Listen to me. If your NIV is a new translation, you say, the Lord will crown you, crown the humble with victory. It's not victory. It's salvation. Salvation. The new translation is wrong. The old translation is right. Salvation. Okay? The Chinese translation is good. That means at first, when the NIV, when a group of scholars, when they gather together to make the translation, they are right. But later on, the younger generation, they thought that they are wiser than the older one. And then they changed the word. Victory. It's not victory. It's salvation. He crowned the humble with salvation. He gives you eternal life. Okay? It's not just win the battle. Some people win the battle and lost the salvation. Okay? Salvation means a lot of things. For the Lord take delight in His people because His people take delight in His word, and on His law He meditate day and night. So He crowned the humble with salvation. Only the humble who delight in the word of the Lord. The proud man say, I don't need to read that. I understood. Okay? He crowned the humble with salvation. I want you to write that down right beside the humble. You write down Matthew chapter 5, Beatitude. The first blessing is salvation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means humble. Blessed are the humble, for there is the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means you earn the salvation by grace because you're humble. That's the first blessing of the eight blessings, the attitude. Now go back. Psalm 149. For the Lord Jesus, Messiah, took delight in His people because His people took delight in the law of the Lord. So that's why the Messiah crowned the humble with salvation. Let the saint rejoice in this honor. When we have the honor to be saved by Jesus Christ, we can sing for joy on our bed. Every time when I cannot sleep, I just reflect what I have already obtained and what I'm going to get, and I'm so happy. Okay? So, Psalm 149, verse 6. May the praise of God be in their mouth, and the double-edged sword in their hand. When you take delight in the law of the Lord, you meditate day and night, for sure in your hand we have a double-edged sword. You say, Pastor John, how do you know that? Of course I know that. You write down Ephesians, the last chapter is chapter 6. Paul said that when you put on the full armor of God, in your right hand, what do you have? In your right hand, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you take delight in the word of the Lord, in your right hand, you will have the double-edged sword in your hand. And with that double-edged sword, when you put on the full armor of God, you're going to fight the good fight. But I'm not going to spend any more time. I just say what I have already said, and then you have to do your homework and check it out in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God to fight the good fight. What kind of fight then you're going to fight? To inflict vengeance on the nations. To inflict punishment on the people. Right beside nations and people, you write down chapter 2, verse 1. These are the nation, these are the people, they gather together, conspire together against the Lord and against the Messiah. Chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nation conspire? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth, who are they? Pontius Pilate, King Herod, they took their stand. The ruler gathered together. Who are they? Pharisees, Sadducees, elders, high priests, chief priests, right? Their leader, they gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. They don't want the Messiah to control their life. They want to run their own life. And God allowed them to live their own life until Psalm 149 was said. The time of judgment come, the saint will inflict vengeance on the nation, to inflict punishment on the people, and to bind their king with fetters, to bind their noble with shackle of iron. You know why in verse 8? Because in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, you know what do they say in their heart? Let us break their chain. Let us throw off their fetter. You can do that now, but you cannot do it in Psalm 149. You understand what I'm trying to say? He let you do it in Psalm 2. But he warned you. Be wise. Be warned. Don't do it anymore. You keep doing it. In Psalm 149, you'll be damned. You'll be judged by the saint. You don't inflict any pain on the saint. And then the Bible says, to bind their king with fetters, their noble with shackle of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. You know what kind of glory the saint has received? First of all, has received salvation in verse 4, had this kind of honor in verse 5. Secondly, he can be the judge. He can be the king. And carry out the sentence. And judge them. I want you to write that down. The day of judgment has already been set. Where did the Bible say? Act 17, 31. The day of judgment has been set. The one who judged you has been appointed. Who is the Messiah Jesus? And then, also in John, chapter 12, verse 47 to 50, the Bible say, Jesus say, I won't judge you. The word that I preach will judge you. But you know what? Who's going to judge? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, who's going to judge you? The saint going to judge you. Because the saint delight in the law of the Lord. He know the word of God. In his right hand, he has the double-edged sword. He's going to judge you with God's word. The saint not only has the honor, glory of salvation from Jesus Christ, the saint, the humble people who delight in the law of the Lord also has the glory of judging the wicked people. That's why the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 4, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blow away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment by the saint, nor sinner in the assembly of the righteous. We're going to gather together to judge them. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We not only be able to inherit the salvation, we also can inherit the kingship from Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Who should we praise? Only one person who give us the honor of salvation, who give us the honor of being a judge, being a king with him. That's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's why we praise Him. Where should we praise Him? We praise Him in His sanctuary. When should we praise Him? Now. Now in His sanctuary on earth. When should we praise Him? In the future. In the mighty heaven. Where should we praise Him? In the highest heaven. Right beside mighty heaven, I want you to write down Psalm 115. Verse 16. The highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth He has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. We not only be able to praise Him now, we be able to praise Him forever and ever. We not only be able to praise Him in the sanctuary on earth right now in the church, we also be able to praise Him in the highest heaven, the mighty heaven. Brother and sister, I want you to circle the verse 715, verse 16. The Bible says the earth He given to man, the highest heaven belongs to the Lord. Lo and behold, if we can go to the highest heaven to praise Him, that means He given us what? The kingdom. The kingdom of what? Hello? He gave us the kingdom of heaven. We not only be able to enter into the kingdom of God on earth, we also be able to enter the highest heaven. Otherwise, how can we praise Him? The highest heaven is called mighty heaven. That's in the future, we're going to go there and praise God. Praise Him for His act of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with string and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbal and praise Him with resounding cymbal. Let everyone that has breath, only the living can praise God. The one who is in hell cannot praise God. He won't be able to enter into the highest heaven, to the mighty heaven to praise Him. At the end, praise the Lord. You know what? You know who take their wives and be wise? I tell you, Joseph. Joseph take their wives. Who is Joseph? Joseph is the member of the ruling council. But the Bible say in the Luke chapter 23, Joseph do not take the advice of the wicked people to crucify the Messiah. He say, I do not agree with you. Who else? The Pharisee Nicodemus. He's also the member of the ruling council. He did not crucify Jesus. Who else? The 11 apostles. Who else? 72 disciples. Who else? 50 disciples in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Who else? All those people who believe in the word of the Lord, who meditate on it day and night. You know what? If we don't meditate the word of the Lord, very easy, we're going to follow the crowd. If the crowd say yes, we're going to say yes. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You have mercy on us. On Your law only we take delight. We delight so much that we meditate day and night, all the days of our life. So that whatever the action we take it according to Your word. Because You're going to judge us according to the word of the Lord. Help us to put on the full armor of God so that we can fight the good fight. Hear my prayer. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.